are then. Welcome to the Racing Postcast here on Super Saturday. A crazy weekend of ITV racing this weekend. Not just racing as well. England playing in the football. And also Wimbledon going on with Arthur Ferry having a good run of things for the English as well. It's a hell of a weekend of sport coming up. And I'm joined by a hell of a panel, as always, on this show. I've got Graham Robway and Joel Rees representing us from the Racing Post. And from Unibet, I have Mr. Ed Nicholson. And I'm off a lovely holiday. Callum's hosted the show the last 2 weeks, which was excellent of him. He did say that there are rumours of me being kidnapped. Don't worry, I'm all good. I'm back in the saddle. And myself and Graham Robway had a lovely holiday in Deauville over the last 5 days. But yeah, nice tan on the face and ready to go once again. And before we get into the show, and I'm going to try and keep the show short and quick because it is really sharp and snappy this weekend. Graham Robway on the show about a month ago on Prix du Jockey Club weekend said this.
I do think this horse is the real deal, Sam. I think this is a really top class horse. Mm. I think this has got the potential to be the best horse that Aidan O'Brien has ever trained. I'm not going to row back on that. I really do think that this is a top class animal.
To be the best horse that Aidan O'Brien has ever trained.
Yeah, Graham Robway, Constitution River, after the eclipse, Ryan Moore said he could be the best horse he's ever ridden. And you said that he could be the best horse Aidan O'Brien might have ever trained, or could be the best horse Aidan O'Brien may have ever trained. Do you still stick by that?
I took a lot of stick for that straight after
you
that,
did.
Sam, didn't I? But they're laughing on the other side of their faces now, aren't they? Now that Ryan's joined in my little party. It's great to have Ryan saying that he might be one of the best that he's ever ridden. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to see what he can do for the rest of the season, Sam. He could be very, very good, couldn't he?
Yeah, Ed, I should have the markets up, really, for the Antipodes markets, but it seems like the battle is going to be in the Jubmont between Ombudsman and Constitution River. It's going to be a hell of a clash if they meet.
Yeah, I still think he's got a lot to prove. I mean, I know, I'm doubling down on it because I don't think the eclipse was that deep. I don't think he's favourite to win any of the 1 mile, 2 furlong Group Ones. Even Ombudsman is still shorter, so he's got to take on the older horses again, and there'll be better older horses next time. But I must admit, when Ryan Moore did say that, it was quite a thing from him because he doesn't normally say that sort of thing.
Nah.
And my mind immediately went to Graham Rodway, thinking this man is mustard.
There we go. We've got him back. Just a note for those who are watching the postcast this week or listening, we are going to be covering the races individually, but we will have different selections from different pundits on this week's show. So we have the show nice, short and snappy, and the guys will only give selections if they feel strongly with regards to them. So we start off at Ascot, the 155, is a heritage handicap over 5 furlongs, a class 2 event. And currently looking at Unibet's market, it seems like it's going to be an open-looking race. King of Light is the market leader at 6-1. Havana Hurricane, 13-2. Dubai Bling, 7-1. B-Hikes, 15-2. Anath, 9-1. Double figures about the rest. And I will go to the man who hasn't spoken yet, because I know he has a strong, keen selection in this race. That's Mr. Joel Rees. How are you getting on, Joel? And who's the selection here?
Yeah, not too bad, Sam. Yeah, I'm starting off strongly here. And my selection in the 5 furlong handicap is Havana Hurricane. It's going to be my nap of the week. I've been waiting for this horse to run back over 5 at Ascot for a long time. I think towards the end of last season, I started to realise that some of the 5 furlong trips it was running over, say, for example, I think one was Doncaster and possibly Newbury. He was starting slowly and then staying on strongly. And I think the more we've seen him, I think it's no coincidence that his only victory has been over the 5 at Ascot with the stiff finish. Every time they've tried the 6, he doesn't appear to fully stay the trip. So I think he's got a great chance. I spoke to Eve Johnson-Horton last weekend, introduced myself to her, and I said to her, oh, about a good run with Havana Hurricane at Sandown. And I said to her, where would you sort of look to run next? And I said, I think 5 furlongs at Ascot would probably be a good trip. So she probably thought, who's this nobody trying to tell me where to run my horses? But thankfully, she's potentially listened to what I said. And a week on from Sandown has been entered in this race. And I think, he's got a great chance. He did the exact same at Sandown, started slowly, finished up the back of the horses in front. And I just think the stiff finish at Ascot will be right up his street. And I'm quite confident on him.
Okay, Havana Hurricane then, 13-2 currently with Unibet. Looks a fair price and a nap selection early, getting that one out of the way, Joel. Graham Robway, what was your opinion on this? I see you've got an opinion.
I think King of Light will win this, Sam. He was very, very impressive when he scored at Windsor last time. He left some useful handicappers for dead that day. That was over six, going back down to five, but as Joel has already alluded to, it's a very stiff five furlongs at Ascot. It will suit him a lot better than the Dash did at Epsom, when he nevertheless ran a really good fifth that day. I think he's going to make up into a listed and potentially group class sprinter in time. Stuart Williams is brilliant with these types of horses, isn't he? Racking up sequences, likes of Quinault and that in the past. So I think he's got another good sprinter on his hands here. Sam, on with King of Light.
King of Light. So it seems like the market is the way to go over at the moment, Ed. Top two in the market covered at this moment in time. There's 16 of them running here. Do you think it's the right way to go to the top of the market, or have you got an outsider?
Well, I think it's a competitive race. I'm very surprised with Graham. He normally goes for a horse at bigger odds than, what, 6-1 or something, second favourite. I'm going to do a Graham Rodway-esque selection. I'm going for a 25-1 shot. I think actually she'd been nibbled at now, but Glamorous Breeze down the bottom. Was 25s when I looked. I think maybe 16s and 14s now. A bit of support already, which I like to see. I just thought she had the profile of a horse that will run well at a big price. I know the horse quite well, and Chris Mason, who has a lot of runners and winners in the southwest of the country, he's in great form, the trainer. He's got a 78% RTF rating at the moment, and four of his last six horses he sent out have won. So his stable's in good form. I'm a big fan of Gina Mangan. I think she's a really underrated jockey. She's been riding winners left, right and centre. She had a 33-1 winner at Kempton last night, running from the front. Literally gave it a beautiful ride and rode most of the jockeys to sleep from the front. She's a really good judge of pace, which will come in handy because this mare, she has to be kind of held up. Not held up, but she has to be waited with until the final moment. And, you know, apart from a head and a nose, she would be unbeaten this year. She's come second and third and not been beaten that much. And she's got a good record at Ascot. Seven runs, a second and two thirds. I think the price is massive at 25s or 16s. What is it now, Sam? I haven't got it in front of me. But
yeah, I'll tell you what, I'm looking at the Unibet website at the moment. 12-1 now, Ed. I mean, this horse has been absolutely hammered. And you can see it's been hammered as well, the market on Unibet. But yeah, really well supported.
I think she's got a really good chance in what is a competitive race. Just going back to the selections earlier on, obviously King of Light's got a great chance, and Hurricane, you know, I wouldn't put anyone off have a Hurricane. And I was at Chepstow last night. I don't know if you saw, but Temple Meads, Eve Johnson Horton's horse that was backed into favouritism for the two-year-old. Poor old, I hope they have better luck than they did yesterday. The rain snapped after a furlong, and Charlie Bishop was riding the race without any rain, still finished four lengths fourth. So hopefully they get a better luck today, but not too much better luck, because I'm opposing Havana Hurricane and going for this big price outside. He might actually be single figures, or she might be single figures by the day, but I thought I found one, Sam, but the market's gone with it. Glamorous Breeze.
Yeah, it's Glamorous Breeze for Ed, then King of Light for Graham Rodway, and Havana Hurricane for Joel. Moving on then to the other
Sam, sorry, I should just say very quickly, and I'll be quiet after this. This is our money back second or third race, flagship offer, and also extra place. You can choose.
Okay. Got a couple of offers on that race there then, so do check out the Unibet website and app for all the terms and conditions and all the rest of the offers that you'll hear throughout this week's show. On to the 227 at Ascot then, which is the Judgment Summer Mile Stakes, obviously over a mile. It's a Group 2 contest for the four-year-old and older horses, and More Thunder tops the market at 6-4. Zeus Olympus 7-2. Docklands is 6-1. No Lunch came over myself and Graham Rodway on the ferry at 13-2. Seagulls 11 is 8-1. 12-12 about Jonquil. Holloway Boys 14-1 and Nakib is 28-1. I think a few people were gritting their teeth after backing More Thunder at Royal Ascot in the Queen and getting beaten by 10 Bob Tony. Graham Rodway, is this an easier opportunity, and is he the one to be with?
I think he's by far the most likely winner, Sam. I think that race panned out really well for 10 Bob Tony. And the same for More Thunder. You know, they got a nice toe into the race. This is a slightly different type of race, isn't it? I think it's on the round course, isn't it? Yeah, so it's not quite going to be setting up exactly the same as it did that day at Ascot, but no doubt about it, he is definitely a solid Group 2 borderline Group 1 horse, a Group 1.5 horse, as I've called him before, and I think he's the right favourite, Sam, but I wouldn't be backing him at the price.
Okay, yeah, More Fun there, an interesting one. Joel, for yourself?
Yeah, for me, so this is a good race. It's obviously not far off a rerun of the Queen Anne regarding the top lot in the market. And I'm going to go for Zeus Olympius to overturn the form with More Thunder. Reason for that is obviously the switch to the round course is the key here. And I believe that will more likely suit Zeus Olympius than More Thunder. I know Carboat was really bullish about him at Newbury. And he loomed up quite nicely with a couple of furlongs to go and then faded. And I noticed in a comment on the Racing Post that he had said before Ascot that we'd learned that this horse has a burst of speed for 100 yards and then levels out. And that has a lot to do with him being a bit immature and weak. And I just wonder whether the run over the round course might suit that speed a little bit better than over the straight track. I'm happy to take on More Thunder. Also, as well, I know it was noted in the Queen Anne that he sometimes can lack a bit of a gear mid race, and I just wonder again on the round course whether that could catch him out a little bit. So yeah, Zeus Olympius for me.
Okay, Zeus Olympius there for Giles. The last race where you've all got kind of a bit of an opinion, and then we kind of split the races up. But Ed, what was your opinion on this one?
Yeah, I was trying to get More Thunder beat because I was disappointed at Ascot. I thought he should have won. And he is a horse that only wins by a small margin when he does win. So there's some question marks about him, I think. Probably unfairly for me, but I am talking through my pocket because he was one of my bets at Ascot, so I was really disappointed. So I did look at Zeus Olympics, but I thought the opposite to Joe. I thought he'd be better over further. The way he ran, he looked like he hit a spot. He was squeezed a bit, and then he ran on. So... the round course, I don't know whether that would suit him more than a straight course going a good gallop. Certainly won't suit Docklands. And I can't, you know, Zeus Olympius has been behind More Thunder on more than one occasion. So I kind of same with Graham. More Thunder is a selection, but I won't be backing him.
Okay, yeah, it's a really interesting race there. More Thunder could get the revenge, but Joel will be siding with Zeus Olympius. Right, the next race we move on to is at Newmarket. We go to Newmarket, it'll be the third day of the July Festival. The 140 there is the 7 furlong maiden stakes. Class 3 event. We wouldn't often see a maiden stakes on ITV, but this is a good one, let me tell you that right now. And currently looking at the market, Al Wafbar for the Godolphin team, 6-4. Favourite Hafner for Ballydore, 15-8. Subscription, 6-1. Sue River is 15-2. Velocreaptor is 14-1. Walk on the Moon is 18s. And Lord of Winterfell, 20-1. Joel, you're the only one to have an opinion on this race. And the reason I say it's a good race, and hopefully I've got this right, is that, you know, this is won in recent years by some good horses. I'm pretty sure last year it was Distant Storm taking down Constitution River, and I think Field of Gold the year before. Like, this has turned out to be a really, really good race. And you've got two top class stables at the top of the market.
Yeah, exactly. Like you say, I think they won it with Distant Storm last year, Appleby and Buick. And I'm going to side with them again this year. I'm going to go with Al Wafbar, the son of Wootton Bassett. I mean, obviously, there's not a lot to go on here. I think only two or three of them have actually ran before. But I'm happy to take on the O'Brien horse. I'm not really a fan of when he brings them over to run in some GB maiden or novice races. I'm not sure what his record is in them. They'll probably be a stat now to completely disprove me, but I always feel like he doesn't really bring his best over for that, and I'm happy to sort of take him on. So yeah, Al Wafbar for me is the selection.
Yeah, it's a really interesting race. Definitely one to look forward to in the future as well. Look for future horses coming out of that race because there could be some good form on show this Saturday. Okay, the 2:15 at Newmarket is a 7 furlong Phillies handicap. It's the Newmarket Racecourse's Phillies handicap, a Class 2 event. And we will kind of skip over this one. I actually do like this race a little bit. I quite like Just a Girl in here for the Johnson stable, who have just been in incredible form in the last few weeks, ridiculous form. And this horse has a bit of secondaitis, but has come unstuck bumping some smart horses at Carlisle on her last two starts. She's definitely well handicapped. I think she's really consistent in these filly handicaps. I really like her. I think the 9-1 currently with Unibet on offer is a really, really fair price. Billy the Kid's on board. Obviously, he's now taken over to become potential champion jockey. It looks like him and Oisin are going to battle it out all the way to the final day in October. Really looking forward to seeing how that comes out. But yeah, Just a Girl, 9-1 is a really good price for me. And I believe I'm going to get an offer on that as well, Ed, am I?
Yeah, we're going a super boost on this race. So the normal offer, every horse in the race, next price up from the first show.
Okay, next price up. There you go. So do check out the Unibet website for all the terms and conditions there. Let's move on to the 2:52 at Newmarket, which is the Newmarket handicap. Nine runners here. It's 4-1 the field currently with Unibet. It's going to be a really good race, I think, looking at this. I think actually Moonfall's been really well supported, who's interesting. George Bowie and Billy Lotnan. I didn't expect that. And maybe the panel will say that they do agree with that. But this horse has now been backed into 9-4. I saw 4-1 on the website earlier. Ed, I don't know whether this is your selection, but Moonfall, really well supported for the George Bowie and Billy Lotnan team.
Well, I was going to ask you if you would offer me 4-1 when you said that.
Yeah, I was really going to say, yeah.
Yeah, there were quite a few of these horses. There were quite a few other runners entered. I like the horse that came second to Moonfall, and he was entered in this race, but that's no longer in the race. And Moonfall just looks like an improving horse. And Billy the Kid takes over. Can we keep calling him Billy the Kid? Because he's 20 now.
Ask Graham Robway this. Graham's got a theory on this, that he actually created this.
Did you, Graham?
I'm pretty sure that on this podcast, I was the first person to coin the term Billy the Kid. And it was very, very shortly after he'd won a few races at Wolverhampton in the January. And when he burst onto the scene, he had that amazing January at Wolverhampton where he just kept banging in winner after winner after winner. I remember saying at the time, this guy's so good, they've got to come up with a nickname for him. And I said Billy the Kid at the time, and Bruce Millington, as it was, who was presenting at the time, was like, yes, that sounds perfect. And it's taken off. I don't know if that's totally down to me, but I'm sure I coined it first, Ted.
Marketing mastermind. Unbelievable. Well, maybe you have to think of a new one now, because he's getting outside the teenage years. And Moonfall, though, looks like he'll continue his form. He wasn't on board at Ascot, Royal Ascot. Zach Lloyd was, and he gave him a really nice ride up seven. It was a Britannia that he won, wasn't it? And that used to be not a very good race, but... I mean, years and years and years ago. But now, I mean, horses used to, you know, run in that, win in that, and never win again. But we're seeing better horses now. He was rated 90 that day, now up to 97. And I remember reading some really good books by Nick Morden in the past where he did some analysis on horses that took the lead 2 furlongs out and still kept on the lead, especially with big fields. And he kind of surmised that meant the horses had a lot more in reserve if they could keep on the gallop and outsmart the opposition. And this horse did that at Royal Ascot, beating a whole load of horses that came to him. He took the lead 2 furlongs out. He was actually up there all the way on the stand side. And I was really impressed the way he kept on. Arguably, he was going away at the end of the game when he looked like he might be caught. So a £7 rise is not insignificant. The market support is significant. And I think Moonfall will win again. I was at Chester when he came fifth on his seasonal debut. Ryan Moore rode him that day. One of Ryan Moore's less than good rides, shall we say. They had the connections had McMurray, who won the race with Billy the Kid on board. But I think if Ryan could ride that race again, he would have been a bit closer. Having said that, they were obviously getting it ready for Royal Ascot, and that was the run. So I think Moonfall will keep on improving. 5-2 is short, I must admit, Sam, but I think he'll win.
The support is there. I mean, Graham Robway, Billy the Kid, Constitution River. There's actually a blimp above London today. I think we should get one ourselves out there saying Graham Robway's a genius. Just spread across London. Like, you're getting everything right at the moment. Let's see if you can get this one right, though, Graham. Who wins this?
I'm sure that would go down really well on social media. I really fancy Al Faraz for this. I thought that last time out when he won at Newmarket, he showed a really good attitude at the track, and the making of him was dropping back to a mile. Ed probably saw him. He was at Chepstow previously. He went off odds on and pulled like a maniac over a mile and a quarter and had no chance of getting home that day. He finished well beaten at odds on. But he had finished sixth behind Maltese Cross in that useful race at Newbury before that, over a mile and a quarter, and again without really settling. But I did like the time that day. Like, the top speed figure is 91. Very rare will you see a horse running off a mark of 88 who exceeded that mark with a top speed figure last time, but that's the case here. Alfaraz running off 88 with a top speed figure of 91 last time. The front three put 20 lengths on the rest of them last time at Newmarket. So, well, that was only a 5-runner race and just a novice event. I think it might have been an okay race. And I think you're going to see a lot of improvement from Alfaraz. They'll let him stride on again. And he might be able to do it from the front here, Sam. Hopefully, anyway.
Okay, Alvarez currently 7-1. Oshie Murphy and Andrew Balding team you up on that one there. And Ed with Moonfall, like I say, been well supported at the top of the market. Moving on to the big handicap of the weekend, which is the Bunbury Cup coming at 3.25 at Newmarket. And Alto's currently topping the market at 3-1. Ellerax 4-1. Great Acclaim 13-2. Back in Black also 13-2. Supido's 8-1. Rolls of Bills 17-2. And double figures about the rest of them in here. Graham Robb, I always love this handicap. I'm a little bit disappointed with the size of the field this year, but I've always been a big fan of the Bunbury Cup. What did you make of this year's renewal?
Really fancy one in this, Sam. Ellerac. It's the bet of the weekend, the bet of the month. I'm not going to go as far as saying the bet of the year because there might be one. I still want to come. But I was at Newmarket's July course last year when this horse won. And he strode away imperiously that day. He looked really well suited by a quick ground. And I think that coming back to the July course is going to be absolutely ideal for him. And he tuned up for this race perfectly, didn't he, at Ascot? He'd beaten just the neck behind Mez Carla, which was the horse that we saw win at Doncaster at the start of the season. Has been a real improver. We've got Billy the Kid on board, Sam, and the only thing is just the draw, isn't it? It's always a bit of a guessing game on the July course at Newmarket, and we haven't seen any big races yet there this week. He's in 15, so we'll see how he goes. I think 15 from memory is more towards the far side, isn't it? I think the inside of the track is still one, so he'll be sort of towards the far side of the track. But I love the way this horse won. It might not have been last year, but it was definitely was one at the July course. I remember being there, and he just was imperious that day. He floated across the ground, and I think he'll float across the ground to victory here, Sam. Bet of the week, bet of the month, maybe not quite bet of the year.
No, not quite. Ellerac, that is, for Graham Robb. It seems like Billy Lotnan could be in for a good time of things this weekend. I mean, I fancy one of his. Ed fancies one of his. Now Graham fancying one. Ed, who did you like in this?
No, I totally agree with Graham. It was his mile novice in the July. He's run a lot of races at Newmarket, actually, but he won the 1 mile novice last year at the July meeting. And yeah, he's second in the Buckingham Palace Stakes. Just got beaten by one that was he's ahead of the handicapper, and he ran. If you see thousands of races, which me and Graham have done over the years, the way that he ran in that race, he looked like he'd be ridden perfectly to win the race. He came there and he looked like he's going to win. He just got done by an improving horse. I mean, if you do like Ellerac, you've got to fancy Great Acclaim a little bit on that form, because they're the same weights and there wasn't much between them. But I'm in agreement. I think Ellerac's got a... I just like the way he did it last time. He was a bit unlucky. Billy on board again. Billy the Kid... trademark Graham Rodway is on a board again, and I think it'll go really well. It's a race I love, Sam. When you were talking about it, I mean, I probably remember the winners of this race before you were born. I remember Consigliere in 1992. I just left university, and it paid for my travel to go up to Loughborough for the ball with Paul Edry. I remember being in the betting shop opposite the King's Cross station waiting for it to win, and it won. And then obviously Mine, which I can't believe was 2002 3 4 5. It's god, time just goes by, but he won the race three times for James Bethel. And obviously last year More Thunder won it, so yes. Some good horses have won this race, and it's one of my favorite races. You're absolutely right, but hopefully it'll be remaining that so when Ellerac romps home to victory.
There we go, two confident selections for Ellerac in this year's Bunbury Cup from Graham Robway and Ed Nixon. Right, on to the 4 o'clock then, which is the Superlative Stakes, which once again we're going to be leaving to Joel to judge these two-year-olds. This is a Group 2 contest, 4 o'clock at Newmarket. Abraham Lincoln, Faden O'Brien and Ryan Moore, 4-5 favourite. Al Hudaiba, 5-2. Pikachu's definitely got to catch the front two in the market, 8-1. Notable Dream is 16-1. Looking at much bigger prices about the other three in the market. Joel, I was really, really impressed with Abraham Lincoln on debut. Definitely looked like he can improve massively from that run. I think he's going to be one of the top class horses of Ballydore, not just this year, but going into the next year. I always like well-named horses as well, and this is an extremely well-named horse. Costa Bomb, it's just, can this horse beat the Godolphin Hot Pot?
Yeah, so I wouldn't disagree with you, and I do agree. Obviously, yeah, he is likely to take a big step forward, but was I blown away with him? I'm not too sure. I think I'm happy to take him on with the Godolphin horse, Al Hudaiba. He's shown plenty of signs of greenness in his three runs. On his debut, he was quite green, but still managed to beat Murrah, I think his name is, who ran in the Coventry, ran a good race there. And then showed signs of greenness again next time out at Yarmouth when jinking and seating in the final furlong when looking set to win. It might be a little bit harsh to say that they were green. It looked like he possibly took a bit of a misstep. I don't really know. But anyway, he made up for it the next time by landing the short odds at the Newmarket July course. And I just think visually he's impressed me a little bit more than Abraham Lincoln. And even though, you know, he has ran three times compared to Abraham Lincoln's one, I just wonder whether he also has still got a fair bit of improvement in him when that greenness sort of begins to level out. And for a stable that's won this six times in the last 10 years, I'm happy to roll with him. I think Pikachu ran a nice race in the Chesham, but ultimately I expect one to probably be too good for him here. So, Al Hudaibah for me.
Al Hudaibah, yeah, around 5-2 of Unibet currently. Abraham Lincoln looks the one to beat, but Joel will be taking him on this Saturday. Let us know in the comments if you're going to be with Abraham Lincoln or if you'll be taking him on. Now on to the big race where all of our panel will have an opinion, which is the Group 1 Albastiecki World Dubai July Cup Stakes. 6 furlongs here, 4:35 at Newmarket. Venetian Sun tops the mark at the Commonwealth Cup winner at 5-2. Almeric 9-2 along with Sotano Rev. Mission Central's 5-1. Division 8-1. Double Rush 17-2. Big Mojo 12-1. And 20-1 and bigger the rest of the field. Now, Graham Robby, I said about the Bunbury Cup saying I absolutely loved that race and I felt like it was a little bit of a disappointing field. Sometimes with the July Cup, I can find it can be a bit of a disappointing field. However, this year, it looks like a little bit of a cracker. You've got the Commonwealth Cup winner taking on the King Charles III winner, taking on the July Queen Jubilee Stakes first and second. Wokingham winner, last year's second. It's making for a great race, isn't it?
It's a great race. Yeah, it's a great race. I remain unconvinced by Venetian Sun. She keeps proving me wrong. I was quite against her at Ascot last time. But again, she only just scrambled home from Spicy Marg, who was like, 33.50-1 outsider. You've got to respect a horse that keeps winning like she does, but I just do not think she is as good as she looks, and I think we will hopefully find that out on Saturday. I'm going to be taking her on anyway. Almirac, of course, was one of my big winners at Royal Ascot, and I'm a big fan of his. However, another one of my winners at Ascot on our show was Mission Central, Sam, and I think that he won in spite of the trip over five in the King's Stand. I know it's a stiff five at Ascot, but he was miles behind, even with a furlong and a half to go, and I thought he had no chance, but he finished like a rocket. He flew home. I think he's going to be even better over six, especially at Newmarket. Fast six, they'll go nice and quick down that hill until they get to the dip, hit the rising ground, and I expect him to be finishing like he did at Ascot. And if he does, I don't think they'll be able to stay with him, Sam. So I'm quite strong on Mission Central to win again.
Hey, Mission Central for Graham Robby. Just give me 2 seconds just while I make a call to the Venetian Sun fan club and speak to their leader, Ed Nicholson. Ed, what were you making of those comments?
Can't believe it. I've been bigging him up all postcasts, and then he says something like that. I mean, what can she do? She's won at Royal Ascot as a 2-year-old. She won at Royal Ascot as a 3-year-old. If she wins this race, hopefully, or when she wins this race, hopefully Graham will never say the sort of things he just said. she put in a really good speed figures the early 2-year-olds. We spoke about it on the postcard. She's proven form for a long period of time. I mean, you know, consistency is one determinant of class, and she's been one of the most consistent fillies for the last couple of years. So I think her performance at Haydock was truly tremendous on ground that might be a bit softer for her when division was behind. And then winning at Royal Ascot was just a dream for me, because obviously we've been talking about that for a long time. And I think she wins here again. She is good trying. I'm just trying to find out how many fillies, 3-year-old fillies, have actually tried. But I think the last three-year-old filly to win this race was Habibti in 1983, but I dare say there haven't been that many that have tried. And she's won on the course. She's in good form. I heard earlier on that there's slight worry that she'd come into season.
Yes.
That would be a worrying sign that the trainer was worried. They'll know more than I would. But I just love her. I just yeah, she's going to be my selection again. And it is heart, but it's also head.
Yeah, no, it's very fair. It's very fair. Yeah, it's worth noting for viewers and listeners that that story did come out that Carl Burke did hear or see signs that she might be in the season. Not definitely, but there were signs there. Joel, so we've got one vote for Venetian Sun, one for Mission Central. Now you've got a bit of a deciding vote. Are you with one of the two guys or away from them?
No, I'm away from both of them. I've got probably would have been my nap if it wasn't for Havana Hurricane. And that is Big Mojo. I think this horse has been seriously underestimated in the market for a lot of his runs, really. I think the form in this race is not a lot to write home about. I do like Venetian Sun, but again, obviously stepping up into open company and obviously this report sort of from Carl Burke about the potential showing signs of being in season. So that'd be enough to put her off me. I think Mission Central stepping back up to 6 furlongs is obviously very interesting. I'd say he's the biggest danger. But yeah, I think Big Mojo keeps getting underestimated. I had an Antipost bet on him a few weeks back, which is sort of shortened a little bit. Buick back on for the first time since his Sprint Cup win. And yeah, he ran well at Ascot in the King Charles, but why they ran him over the 5 furlongs, I don't know. I thought they were maybe lining up the double to then run in the Jubilee later in the week, but they never did. So I think if you look at his 6 furlong form, he came seventh, I believe, in the Commonwealth last year, but he probably got unfortunately one of the worst rides of the week, and then was touched off in this race last year, then went on to win the Sprint Cup at Haydock. You can forgive a lesser performance at the start of the season. And then, a good 5 furlong performance, I thought, in the King Charles, but not his trip for me. And I think he'll now be primed for a big run on Saturday back over 6.
A double figure odds, Big Mojo for Joel then. Before we take a breather, then, Ed, last word.
Yeah, I just had a quick check on that. 3-year-old fillies, well, since 1997, only 8 have actually tried, and they haven't done well, but the shortest price was 11-2. So, yeah, although that will be given as a reason why she can't win, last 3-year-old filly being Habibti, there haven't been that many a tried, to be honest.
Okay, there you go. Some good stats on this podcast, as usual. Right, time for a bit of a breather then, and we're going to have York shortly after this.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Welcome back to part 2 of this week's Racing Postcast here on Super Saturday. Sam Hart, Joel Rees, Graham Robway and Ed Nixon taking you through the ITV action this weekend. We take a trip up to York now for the final few races covering on this week's postcast, and the first of which is the 2.39, which is a 7 furlong Class 2 handicap, where the market of Unibet currently looks like this. Cerulean Bay is the 11-4 favourite. Cosibello 7-2. Apiaris is 8-1 along with the Lost King. First Principle also 8-1. Mr Swivel 9-1. Double figures about the rest of the field. A horse that's come up plenty on this postcast is a horse called Cosibello. We've discussed this horse plenty of time. We've tipped up to win. We've also said this horse is a listed horse. And Ed Nixon, you still stand by that?
Yeah, some might have been disappointed by his 10th at Royal Ascot, but I thought it was an okay run. He's only had 6 runs in his life, still improving. Still, even in that race, he seemed to be, you know, he raced like a good horse, if you know what I mean. Like, there were lots of good horses in that race, to be fair. But when I watched the replay this morning, I was taken by how well he was going 2 out, 3 out, maybe. Paddy Bradley, I think, is another underrated jockey. I think he's going places. I think he's a really good jockey. He managed to get an unbelievable run from Cosibello to win first time up at Haydock, much to my positivity. And I've always thought a lot of this horse based upon time. Do you know, I like looking at times, and he put in a really good time at Kempton on his second win there. And I still think he's up to being a listed horse, I must admit. So I'd hopefully see him win today, get back on track. He's won plenty of times, just 3 wins from 6 races, rated 67. But that 10th in the Buckingham Palace Stakes, beaten about 6 lengths, wasn't that bad, I don't think. So
no.
I'm going to give Cosibello another chance. I still think he's an improving individual.
Yeah, Cosibello, round 7-2 of Unibet, and I think York will suit this horse perfectly fine. Graham Robway, you're the only one to have another opinion on this race. Share it with Ed or difference?
Oh, yeah, I agree with Ed. Yeah, I do think Cosibello will win this.
I really think that's a good race last time, the one that Mezcala won. Obviously, I've tipped Elarac to win the Bunbury Cup, and he was second to Mezcala that day. And I think Cosi Bello, that run was actually a lot better than it looks. Time's very solid. And to be fair to Ed, he was very, very strong on Cosi Bello when it won at Haydock previously. And I think that he'll be right about the horse again. Come on, Cosi Bello!
Cosi Bello, there we go. I can't really say a hat-trick selection because we're not going for everyone on this week's show, but a double there for the 2.39 at York with Cosi Bello. On to the 3.12 at York. This is the 5 furlong John Smith City Wolves Stakes. This is a listed contest. Like I say, over the 5 furlongs, looking at Unibet's market here, it looks fairly open with American Affair and Red Orange topping the market at 5-1. Washington Heights is 6-1. Heavenly Heather, 13-2. JM Jungle, 7-1. 11-1 about Miss Attitude, 12-1. And bigger about the rest of the field in here. And we're going to come to you here, Joel. There's plenty of horses who I like in this race. There's a few. Red Orange is one that I thought was incredibly unlucky when running at York last time during the Dante meeting, then went to win at Windsor. It hasn't quite paid out since then, but I do think Red Orange will run well once again. The other one here who just, I don't know when this horse is going to come good again, is Starlust, who I don't know whether this horse is now done with, or I just expect this horse to maybe just to turn up one day and show the kind of form that this horse once did. So it is a fascinating listed contest, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I agree with you regarding Starlust. It just, part of you thinks, should they have come back on it for a new campaign? Yeah. But the other part of me thinks, you never know, he could bounce back one day. But I also think there's quite a few in here that I give a chance to, all at quite biggish prices. I thought Lexington Blitz was interesting, ran three good races since being gelded, all in handicaps. But, you know, these horses aren't of a high quality in this race. And I think after the Epsom race, I noted down that he would like a quick ground with a fast track, and he'll get that here today, or on Saturday, should I say. Revival Power, I was expecting maybe we could see a bit of a revival from him. But there too, who I expect to go from the front end in the race, as well as a few others who like to go hard. So I'm going to go for one who I can hopefully pick them off, and that's Military Code for Charlie Appleby. I actually tipped him up last time I was on the pod in the race at Sandown. I realise I'm putting a lot of eggs in the Appleby basket this week when he's not necessarily been in the best of form, apart from a few sort of short price winners recently. But yeah, he was up against Words of Truth that day. And I think when we were on the pod, he was around about 8-1. And he ended up getting backed in over the next 48 hours to the point where he was vying for favouritism with Words of Truth. He was obviously running first time out that day, and he never really got into the race. He's probably better than the bare result. I think it's a bit of a funny track at Sandown, that 5 furlong sprint course. So yeah, I expect him to, now he's got the run under his belt, to bounce back. He's bounced back from some poor runs in the past as well, and ran well at York here last year. So I think he's a solid each way bet with the run under his belt. I think he's probably about, I think he was like 14-1 or something like that. So yep. I'm happy to take that.
Yeah, 12s from 14 to see on the Unibet website currently. And yeah, really fair price. If you are going to back Appleby at any point during the year, it seems like this is usually the weekend to do it, especially with the Newmarket July course in action. Graham Rodway, what opinion did you have of this race?
My fancy Heavenly Heather. She ran a massive career best last time at Ascot when she recorded an RPR of 116, and it was £17 higher than anything else that she's ever produced in her life. It's quite possible that it was a fluke. However, I'm going to take a punt that it wasn't, for the reason that she had previously chased home Jacajaro at this course in a handicap. And Jacajaro also ran well in that same race at Ascot. I think he finished almost to the pound with her. Like he was just ahead of her at Ascot. So it wasn't just Heavenly Heather who performed well out of that York race. It was also the winner, Jacajaro. And Heavenly Heather, when she was a second to Jacajaro, she actually won her race on the far side. And if you remember, Jacajaro raced on his own right up the middle of the track and blitzed them. I think that if she can reproduce that York form back at the track over the course and distance, she's going to be very difficult to beat, and there's no doubt about it. If she gets anywhere near the form that she showed when beaten just over a length in the King's Stand last time behind my July Cup horse Mission Central, then I think she'll be more than good enough to win it. And she's a big old price as well, Heavenly Heather. I quite fancy her at a price, Sam.
Okay, Heavenly Heather then for Graham Rodway in the sprint. It's going to be a really interesting race, that listed contest at York on Saturday. Let's go on to a handicap now, the John Smith's Cup, which is a mile, 2.5 furlongs, the 3:45 there at York. And the market for this currently has warrant holder for His Majesty the King at 7-2. Yabir's 4-1. Rami's 5-1. Danger Bay is 6-1. Hand of God 7-1. Respond is 9-1. Double figures and bigger. The rest in here. Ed, you're the one that's going to have the opinion on this race. And warrant holder was a horse who almost gave His Majesty a winner at Royal Ascot. It wasn't quite to be, but tops the market once again here.
Yeah, I'm surprised that we haven't got a bigger opinion on this race, because it's one of the biggest handicaps of the year. A £200,000 prize money makes it, if not the, apart from the Ebor, probably the biggest handicap of the year, I would have thought. £101,000 to the winner. There's a few horses that have been laid out for this, as you would do if you were a connection, because it's really worth winning, isn't it? Warrant holder obviously has that form that you've just spoken about. I've been told by more than one person in the last 2 weeks that Danger Bay is going really well at home, and they really well there's been a lot of money antiposed for it, so I'm not telling people what they don't know. But Danger Baby won the Zetland Gold Cup, I think it's called, at Redcar. And then this used to be called the Magnet Cup. I remember it being called the Magnet Cup. And the Zetland Gold Cup and the Magnet Cup, that there used to be quite a lot of synergy between the two. A lot of trainers trying to win two big pots in two consecutive races. So I think Danger Bay, I wouldn't put anyone off that. I like going for the trainers who have got big strings, who have horses that they can target big handicaps with. And one of the best trainers for that is William Haggis. He's won this, no trainer has won this race more times in this century than William Haggis. He's won it 3 times from just 20 runners. The Fahis have won it 3 times, but they've had 40 runners. And Yabher looks an interesting one. Now, I bet Graham's thinking that horse has gone up an enormous amount in the weights, in the handicap, and he has. I mean, he won at Goodwood, and he didn't win by that far, but it's the way he did it. And Yabher's gone up a ridiculous amount, was rated 92, now 108. Made all that day. He's 4 from 9. Looks the sort to keep on improving. And also, this race over 1.5 miles. He's won over 1.4 miles, which, you know, that's got to be a positive, because he showed enough speed to make all at Goodwood, which shows that he's not bereft of early pace either. So I just thought Yabher was a decent selection, but it's only 5-1 and it's a really competitive race. So, you know, it's a difficult race to get really involved with. That's why we're going 6 places. We're going extra place double. So 6 places with us on this John Smith's. And good luck if you're having a bet. It's always a cracking renewal. But yeah, if I was going to have a bet, and I probably won't at the price, it's Yabher would be my selection.
Yabher then, yeah, for the Haggis team. And the horse has gone up in the weights, but, you know, this is the potential horse that could go on and keep on improving and end up in listed group contests towards the back end of the season. So Yabher for Ed Nixon. Now, there is a race that's kind of been added to the ITV roster, which Joel has got an opinion on. But the 4:55 at York, I find it really interesting that John Smith's Silver Cup Stakes is on there, the Group 3, the 1.6 mile furlong. Race there. Unibet's market, there are currently 6 in the field. Mount Atlas 6-4, Table Talk 15-8, Arabian Force 9-2, Epic Poet 6-1, Duke of Oxford 12s, and Peace Bell is 66-1. But I'm probably lighting up the ears of our producer Bell there, who's going to be having a look at that 66-1 on Peace Bell. Joel, this is a fair old race. I just find it interesting that it's at 4:55 on ITV. I think a few people will be getting ready for the football this time.
Yeah, well, I definitely will, put it that way. But yeah, I think this was interesting. I mean, it wouldn't be a race that I'd sort of have a confident selection in or be really excited about. But Epic Poet, again, last time I was on the pod, I napped him up. So you can see there's a bit of a theme here that I can't seem to let some of these go. But he drifted. He had Ryan Moore aboard that day, and he drifted massively in the morning. And he went on to run like a horse that had drifted massively in the morning. So I don't know, it was too bad to be true in my mind. Before that, he had a lot of good form over course and distance. And I'm hoping that he can sort of show himself in a better light on Saturday.
Okay, yeah, no, so it is an interesting race. And I mean, Epic Poet, I mean, the one thing I will say is that Graham Robway and I have got a new theory of the redemption bet, of, you know, when you backed or napped a horse up, that you've got to consider following it back up again, because you're going to really regret it. I think Graham had that Royal Ascot, didn't you? Rogue Diplomat, Graham. Oh,
Hasselay
as well, in Deauville, yeah.
Bet last time. We were big on Hasselay, weren't we, at Goodwood when he ran, and very good at Deauville on Saturday.
They did, yeah. No, there's the redemption bet theory. It's another new one into our list of Graham Robway theories on this podcast, which we love to hear. Right, we're going to get the best bets very shortly from the guys. We're also going to get a prediction for the football on Saturday night shortly after this.
You're up early, checking going reports, scanning trainer form, hunting for market movers, watching all the replays. What if it was already done? The Edge delivers everything serious punters need every morning at 8 a.m, either straight into your inbox or on racingpost.com. Going stick analysis that takes the guesswork out of going descriptions. Percentile scores showing which trainers and jockeys are genuinely hot and which are not. Overnight market moves. Eye catchers from our analysts, who also open up their horse trackers just for readers. All the insight with none of the legwork. Because if you're going to bet seriously, you need a serious edge.
So there we go then. Do check out Unibet's website there. Loads of offers on there. Plenty of markets to look through. And it's always worth looking at their anti-post markets as well. You're back for the final part of this week's podcast. Sam Hart, Graham Robway, Joel Rees and Ed Nicholson. Now giving our best bets for the weekend. This could be interesting. Let's see if we can land a couple of nice winners here, gents. And I'll tell you what, Joel, you've already given yours away at the start of the show, so I'll come straight to you. Who's your best bet?
Yeah, Havana Hurricane for me in the 5 furlong sprint at Ascot. One thing I forgot to say in the main bit was that I noticed as well last week that the owner on Twitter had said, somebody had asked the owner where next, and the owner had said, they were looking to gallop the horse before anything else. So obviously they abandoned that plan with the Ascot 5 furlong trip a week after Sandown. So, yeah, that's another positive in my mind. But, yeah, I'm just a big fan of this horse. I don't think we've seen the best of him since Ascot last year. And he gets his course again, and I'm expecting him to rattle home late, hopefully.
Okay, yeah, Havana Hurricane then for Joe. I'm going to go in the 2.15 at Newmarket, the Phillies handicap. Just a girl for me at 9-1. I think it's a really silly price for the Johnson stable, who are in great form. I think this horse is really well handicapped. Billy the Kid is on board. Plenty said about him during this week's show. But yeah, I think that Just a Girl at 9-1 is a cracking bet in the 2.15 at Newmarket. Graham Robway.
Yeah, bet of the week, bet of the month, but maybe not bet of the year. Billy the Kid on Elarak in the 3.25 at Newmarket for me, Sam.
Yeah, some fair prices on this week's show for the Naps. And Ed Nixon, you're the final one to give us your selection.
Yeah, 2.39 at York is a horse I put up as my handicapper of the year. Only had two runs so far this season. Came 10th in the Buckingham Palace, having won at Haydock. Let's hope that Cozzy Bello can get back into the winning groove.
Okay, Cozzy Bello for Ed Nixon. So you can see our Naps on screen there. Do take a screenshot. Let's hopefully land some winners this week, and we'll come on to next week's show showing off how many winners we had with our Naps. Now, the other big event, just very quickly, because I know it's quite a long show this, but it's the England game on Saturday night, England versus Norway, 10 p.m. kickoff. Pubs are going to be flooded with England fans, I'm sure, maybe even some Norway fans in the UK. I want a quick score prediction from everyone across the panel. I'm going to start off by saying it'll just be a 2-1 win for England. Fairly boring, but we'll take that. Joel, what do you reckon the score will be?
I'm going, after 120 minutes, it to be 3-3 with an Erling Haaland hat-trick. But then England to get the victory on penalties, I think.
Wow, I'll tell you what, that's some prediction if that one were to come off. Ed Nicholson, you'll be watching the football, I'm sure.
Yeah, 3-1 England, but the bet of the game is both teams to score.
Both teams to score. And Graham Robway, we were up at 3 a.m. watching the game in France last weekend. What do we reckon is going to happen this time around?
I reckon we're going to get the job done here, Sam. Yeah, very confident. I'm going to take a 2-0 to England, I think. I think we can keep Haaland out. If we can keep Haaland quiet, I think we'll do it. Can't wait. It's coming home. Come on, England.
There we go. All confidence on this panel. I was waiting for someone to just say, oh, no, we're going to get beat. But there we go. We've got full confidence in the boys out in the US. Really hoping it'll be a good weekend this weekend coming. Like I say, plenty of racing as well. Do gamble responsibly if you are having a bet. We're going to be back next week. We've got the Super Sprint, I think, is the big race. Not the best weekend of racing next week, but then we follow in with the King George and then Goodwood. We're going to have our top five bets for Goodwood and Galway as well, our traditional show we have here on the podcast. Really looking forward to that. So plenty of top-class action still to come, even with York straight after Goodwood appearing fairly quickly. But big thanks to the panel this week, Graham Robway, Joel Rees and Ed Nixon. And we'll see you again next week for another Racing Postcast.